Let's now read God's word as we come to this new passage and this new series on Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, "Go through the camp and tell the people, 'Get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own.' But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh," Joshua said, "remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise." Then they answered Joshua, "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will fully obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." This is the word of God. And Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, as we open your word, please be in our midst by your Spirit and unblock our ears and soften our hearts and open our eyes to see the truth as you set it before us today, that we might be godly and gracious leaders and godly and gracious followers, even as Joshua your servant and your people were in our passage today. Lord, help us to learn how to live well in this world to your glory as we look at this passage today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I was saying, over the next couple of weeks, we will be taking a look at some of the introductory chapters of the book of Joshua. Now, Joshua was born Hoshea, the son of Nun, of the tribe of Ephraim. But Moses called him Joshua. Hoshea means "he saves." Joshua means "the Lord saves." And in a sense, both of those aspects are true about Joshua. He was the one who led the people into the promised land, but really it was the Lord who was working through him who attained that deliverance and that fulfillment of promise for God's people. And Joshua is one of the 12 tribal leaders who were sent out by Moses to explore the land of Canaan not long after they had left the land of Egypt. So off they went, and they explored the land, and they came back with a good report. "This land is a land flowing with milk and honey, a pleasant land, lacking nothing." And yet, of those 12 leaders, those 12 tribal leaders had been sent out to explore the land, it was only Joshua and his friend Caleb who urged the people to go on in and take possession of the land. The other 10, all the rest of the leaders, said it was impossible because of the size of the people who lived there and the scale of their cities. And they doubted God, and they discouraged the people, And the people began to grumble against Moses, and they made plans even to go back to Egypt. But Joshua kept the faith. He believed that the Lord would keep his promises. And so after God had judged the faithless leaders and commended Joshua and Caleb, Joshua himself became Moses' assistant. And this arrangement lasted all the way until Moses' death, as we saw in the kids' video this morning. Joshua was there during the 40 years' journey in the wilderness. He was there when Moses interceded for the people in prayer. He was there to fight and defeat the Amalekites. He was there when Moses went up Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments from the Lord. He was there when Moses came down the mountain and smashed the tablets on the ground because Aaron had made the golden calf idol. He was there when the people arrived on the plains of Moab opposite the city of Jericho. And he was there when Moses died at the ripe old age of 120. But now Moses is dead, and Joshua must take the lead. And I can't tell you how important this is, because really we are entering into a new chapter in the history of God's people. Moses is dead. The five books of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, are completed. And now we're entering into the rest of the Old Testament with Joshua taking the lead. The question is, though, will he succeed where Moses failed? Because in a sense, Moses did fail to bring the people into the promised land. Even Moses fell short at a moment of frustration. He lost his temper. He rebuked the people for their grumbling, and he struck a rock in the wilderness. He struck it three times instead of once, and for that the Lord judged him. He said, "You didn't honour me in the presence of the people. You will not enter the land yourself, but Joshua will lead the people in your stead." Will Joshua be able to succeed where Moses failed? Well, it was not Joshua, but Moses. It would be the one who leads God's people into the promised land. Today's passage is all about that transition or that change from one leader to the next and how God provides for his servant Joshua. There are 4 points we're going to look at today. First, we get an insight into Joshua's first day on the job. Then God says to him, "Be strong and courageous." Joshua then begins to lead the people, and the people promise to follow. So it's a pretty straightforward outline, isn't it? First day on the job, get some encouragement from the Lord. Joshua begins to lead the people, and the people promise to follow. But just before we look at this, I wanted to talk very briefly about what Moses did for Joshua before Moses died. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. Again, it was kind of touched on in the kids' talk video this morning. What happened was Moses called Joshua before the people, and he laid his hands on him, and he set him apart, and he prayed for him. And as he prayed, that prayer of Moses before the people sets the scene for our passage today. Because, you see, that is where we hear for the first time those famous words, "Be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with you." So I want to read just briefly Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7. You'll hear these words coming out. "Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, 'Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.'" And that's the very first time in the Bible, that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 31, where we hear these words, "Be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you." And then God himself confirms this promise to Joshua in verse 23 of Deuteronomy 31. "For the Lord gave this command to Joshua, son of Nun, 'Be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I promised them on oath, and I myself will be with you. Fear not, the Lord is with you.'" And now we come to Joshua's first day on the job as Israel's new leader. And this is my first point for today. Let's have a look at it. Verse 1. "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, The Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Well, I think he's worked that out. He knows that's the case. But it's what says next that we go on with. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. Get ready and get the people ready. Well, think of it. This is Joshua's first day on the job. And I don't care who you are, it has to be a moment to get the heart racing because Joshua has some very big shoes to fill. It's not easy coming after someone like Moses. Joshua had been Moses' apprentice for 40 years. It's a long apprenticeship. He'd fought the Lord's battles alongside Moses. He'd helped Moses in his ministry. But now it's up to him. From this day forward, Joshua himself has to take the lead. And I want to ask you, how would you feel if you were Joshua? Can you remember your first day at work? Those of you who've been in that situation, or perhaps your first promotion, or maybe the first time you've led a ministry at church, some position where you're the person who's primarily responsible. It can be scary, right? The last thing you want on a day like this, your first day on the job, is to mess it up. I can remember my first day at Jarrah Technologies. I had an awful wardrobe malfunction. I just left IBM the week before and I was now starting a new job with a new company. It was my very first day in the office in my new job. And as I was being introduced, I happened to bend down to put my briefcase down and rip! Would you believe it? My pants tore apart right down the back of my bum. Thank goodness somebody had a spare pair of pants. I was able to put them on and cover up my embarrassment. The point is, in public ministry, you just never know what might go wrong. So I think it's great that the first thing God does for Joshua in verse 3 is reassure him that God will be with him and go with him every step of the way. It's this word of encouragement. Don't worry, Joshua, I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Fear not, take courage. Be strong. We're going to do this together. We're going to bring these people home. Verse 3. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. Now, by the way, if you look on a map, this is a territory larger than Israel has ever been. It's a huge area. It contains all of Lebanon right up into modern-day Turkey, the Euphrates River on one side, the great Mediterranean Sea on the other. Even today, Israel is just a small fragment of that potential territory that God had promised his people, but they never quite claimed. Nevertheless, God promises to Joshua, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." Well, this is such an encouraging word. And if there's one word that sums up everything about today's passage, the word encouragement, it must have helped Joshua greatly to calm his nerves on the first day of his new job to hear this promise. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. As we read on, we see there's more. My second point today is what God continues to encourage Joshua in. Be strong and courageous. In fact, this is now the third time that Joshua will have heard these words, if you count the other two back in Deuteronomy. And now God is going to spell out the kind of leader that Joshua ought to be. God says to him, be strong and courageous, verse 6 to 9. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. There's big emphasis there, isn't there? Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Strength and courage are surely two things Joshua must have felt most in need of in his first day on the job. And did you notice that God gives these as a command? Be strong and be courageous. He is instructed to make this decision, as it were, to respond to his fears by taking control of them. This is something he is to make up his mind on and to step out. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be timid. Don't be afraid of what other people think or say about you. Do this and you will lead well and you will be successful. And by the word, the word success in verse 7, can you see it there in verse 7? That you may be successful wherever you go. It's actually a wisdom thing. It's hard to translate from Hebrew into English, but it basically means something like this. To apply through meditation and careful reflection on God's word, to apply what you know to the tasks at hand to attain your goal. So it's not success as we think. It's not sort of dollars in the bank account. It's not a fame or fortune or something like that. No, it's success in achieving godly goals in a godly way. And you will be successful in this kind of manner. It is a biblical kind of success. And it inspires people's deep respect and loyalty and love while gaining God's blessing in the process. It really is the very best kind of success, a God-honoring success. And the point also here is that good leaders lead well. It's a simple thing to say, hard to do. Good leaders lead well. And that means knowing where you're going. It means being able to set the goals prayerfully. Means giving orders wisely, working with others, delegating tasks, trusting people to do them, serving together. It means being godly and gracious too. Verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You will prosper in what you do. You will attain your goals and you will succeed in a godly and gracious manner. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Tremendously encouraging. To know that you're not alone, but that God is with you even in the trials that you will surely come upon. But I want to explore this a little further. What exactly is it that God wants Joshua to do here? For example, in verse 7, he says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. I want to think about that. What does that mean exactly? To obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. I think if I was to ask around, I'd probably first of all get answers along the lines of, well, it means to keep the Ten Commandments, right? The laws of God as contained in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and that's certainly true because godliness matters, and surely Joshua is expected to adhere to the best of his ability, the Ten Commandments, and to confess his sins when he fails and to seek the atonement that God provides. Keep the Ten Commandments, that's a given. But there's also some other instructions given by Moses about specifically how to take possession of the land, and these laws were given for this exact moment in history. So I think that Moses and the Lord are also pointing Joshua to the fact that he needs to do these particular things in order to attain the goal of crossing the Jordan River and entering into the land. For example, let me give you some specific examples of laws that pertain to this moment in history for Joshua. First of all, there are laws about fighting the nations who were living in the land. And there are seven nations that are repeatedly mentioned. The Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites and Jebusites. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them and show them no mercy. So when they are fighting these seven nations, they are to leave no survivors. They are to completely kill out every person of those seven nations. Now that's shocking, isn't it? It's shocking, and we were sharing in our Bible study this week. If you first, you know, come into the Bible and you get to a passage like this, it's pretty horrific. And it raises questions. Why is God saying to God's people, leave these people no mercy? You must destroy them totally. The Bible gives the context of the seriousness of the sins of these people, and we know that the wages of sin is death. God's people, in this case, the Israelites, are to be the executioners, the appliers of God's judgment upon the sins of those nations, that they were meant to be totally destroyed. Their time was up, and they would face eternity before God. So yes, it is difficult, but that's part of what God's people were expected to do, to go in and totally destroy the seven nations. By the way, they never did. They failed in that, and the consequences were that they quickly took on the worship and the patterns of life of the nations that they went in and occupied. So another series of laws specifically given were about purifying the land. That was part of Joshua's role as well. God said, this is what you are to do to them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. And so they were to separate themselves and purify the land. Also a series of laws specifically related to this moment in history. There are also laws about dividing up the land among the 12 tribes to make sure that the inheritance is fair. And there are laws about choosing a place of permanent worship in the land, which are laws that foreshadow the city of Jerusalem and the temple that will be built there. And then too, there are laws about Israel living in the land as a model society, so that the nations around them will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Israel was meant to go in, clean up the mess, take occupancy of the land, and then live as a model society. Israel was meant to be a light to the nations, attractive to those who lived around them, although again, they rarely lived up to this ideal. So the point is, though, being a leader under God's command is hard work. And not all the commands that Joshua had would have been easy or comfortable to do. What it requires is a clear understanding of God's word and character. It requires a dedication and commitment to personal godliness, a commitment to the task, and courage to do what needs to be done. And that's why Joshua is called upon to be careful to do everything written in the book of the law that was given to him. Because right now, God's people are camped on the banks of the Jordan River and they're ready to cross over and take possession of their God-given inheritance. It's a very special time. And it must have been exciting to be part of the community of faith, the people of God. They're so close, I mean, they can actually see the finish line. It's just over there. Just cross the river. But then remember, they've stuffed this up before and they can stuff it up again. So Joshua is the new leader. It's his first day on the job, and now all eyes are on him. He has to lead this people, and that's exactly what he begins to do. So look at verse 10. It's my third point for today. Joshua leads the people. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. This is Joshua's first decision as the new leader of Israel, and it sets the tone for the whole ministry that he will undertake. I look at it, I say, wow, he simply gets on with the job. He doesn't stop and have a big party and celebration. No, he just says, get ready. Moses may be dead, but I'm here and I'm in charge and I'm ready to lead. So he spoke to the officers in verse 10, who are overseers of the people. It's interesting, this word officer or overseer sort of feeds into what elders are today. They are leaders who help Joshua in his work as leader. So they are officers or overseers of the people, and they help Joshua to lead the people well. So Joshua himself is a team player. He knows how to delegate, and he doesn't micromanage. He works with his team to communicate the call to get ready to cross the Jordan. And notice that he doesn't need to be prompted in doing this. He didn't wait for someone to come up to him and say, Joshua, do you want us to do this? Joshua, do you want us to do that? No, he knew what had to be done, and he did it. And that's a great lesson for new leaders, isn't it? When all eyes are on you, be strong and courageous and make a decision. Indecision is a killer. People want decisions to be made. You need to be able to stand up and make a decision. In other words, lead from the front. Lead from the front. Don't lead from behind. You see so many politicians today all leading from behind. They appoint bureaucrats and other people and they create this sort of wall of defence between them and the people they're supposed to lead. So if anything goes wrong, they can blame the bureaucrats and not take responsibility for the decisions that they should have made but didn't. That's lazy leadership. Good leaders lead from the front. In fact, they're often at the heat of the battle, at the place where the greatest danger is, to stabilise and encourage the troops that are in there with them. Don't lead from behind. Lead from the front. Be strong and courageous. Tell me what to do and I'll try to help you do it. A good leader communicates with his people. And that's what Joshua does here in verse 10. He leads from the front. He tells the people through his officers, through his overseers, get yourselves ready, pack your possessions and prepare to move out because in 3 days we're going in. Canaan, here we come. But first, you Reubenites, Gadites and half-tribe of Manasseh, you need to remember your duty. This is about loyalty, this little small other section where it says, but to the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, you see that in verse 12. Now, there's something going on here, isn't there? What is it? Well, it's another lesson in leadership. Sometimes people need to be reminded of their promises. That's what this is about. You see, when Moses was still alive, the Reubenites, the Gadites, half-tribe of Manasseh, came up to him one day and said, please don't make us cross over into the promised land. We rather like it here on this side, on the east of the Jordan. It's good grazing land and we've got lots and lots of livestock. Can we stay here? We don't want to go over there. We don't want to take up possession of the inheritance that God's promised us because the land here is good for livestock and we've got lots of livestock. What did Moses think? He thought, oh no, here we go again. In fact, Moses was absolutely furious with them. I want to read you a little what he said to these people when they came up to him with this suggestion. It's from Numbers chapter 32. Moses said, shall your countrymen go to war while you sit here? Why do you discourage the Israelites from going over into the land the Lord is giving to them? This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to look over the land. After they went up to the valley of Eshkol and viewed the land, they discouraged the Israelites from entering the land the Lord had given them. And here you are, a brood of sinners, standing in the place of your fathers and making the Lord even more angry with Israel. If you turn away from following him, he will again leave all these people in the desert, and you will be the cause of their destruction. Ouch. Well, I think the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh very quickly picked up on Moses' concerns. And they said, don't worry, don't worry. We'll go over with our brothers and help them take possession of the land. And then we can come back and stay. And so eventually it was decided that, yes, these tribes could stay in the land of Jazer and Gilead on the east of the Jordan, but only on the condition that they kept their promise and helped their brothers to take possession of their land first, as God had promised them. And that's what Joshua is reminding them of here in verse 14, do you see? Verse 14, your wives, your children, your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but, first, all your fighting men fully armed must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord their God is giving them. Keep your promises this day. After that, yes, you may go back and occupy your land which Moses, the servant of the Lord, has given to you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. You see what courage it takes to lead people well? Sometimes you need a carrot, sometimes you need a stick. Good leaders don't usually use the stick, but they hold it where you can see it. They hold it where you can see it. That's what Joshua's doing here. He doesn't threaten, he doesn't cajole, but he reminds them of their promises. He offers the kind of encouragement that keeps them on track, these Reubenites, Gadites, and half-tribe of Manasseh. I'm with you. I'm listening to you. I care about you. I'm praying for you. Now go and do your duty. And the land east of the Jordan will be yours. And that's how it happened under Joshua's leadership. So yes, Joshua is a great leader. He'd had 40 years of apprenticeship under Moses. Now he shows us the kind of skills that will stand him in good stead for the rest of his ministry. By virtue of his Christ-like leadership, for indeed the name Joshua is the name Jesus, and he is a type of Christ, in virtue of his Christ-like leadership, the people of Israel will experience a fulfillment in part of God's promises to his church. They'll enter into the promised land. They'll take possession of it and begin to live there. And by the end of the book of Joshua, they do attain a kind of rest, which is a foreshadowing of what we look forward to in the new creation. And we'll see by the end of the book of Joshua, in effect, a working model of the kingdom of God as God meant it to be, a place of rest and peace, where God's people are living in God's place under God's rule and blessing. For the church of the Old Testament is here. So our passage today has a happy ending. In a rare moment of unity and love, God's people get it together. The 12 tribes of Israel respond to Joshua's leadership well and with one voice. Now, in verse 16, I don't think it's just the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh who are responding. I think it's the whole community. It's everybody together coming and affirming Joshua as leader. So my final point for today is this promise on the part of the people to follow Joshua. Verse 16. Then they answered Joshua, "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." Well, this is what they are to do. They are to trust and to follow their leader, Joshua, and to serve him and help him in attaining his goals. I know it's easy to pick holes in what these people have said here, especially a bit about having been fully obeyed Moses. I'm sorry, that's just laughable. The truth is they were so often stiff-necked, stubborn, and willfully disobedient. Nevertheless, this is a moment where they mostly get it right by promising Joshua their full support. with God's help. And in doing so, they set an example that we too can follow today. I want to make a point here. See, sadly, many Christians today are very, very reluctant to entrust themselves to the leadership of others. We live in such an independent world that we're very reluctant to trust leaders. And I think it's part of an Australian condition as well. You know, don't respect your leaders because they don't deserve respect. And I can see why that's the case, because it's kind of in my DNA as well. But it's not good for the church when we don't back our leaders in. What we need today is, first of all, more godly leaders with the courage and conviction to lead well. And then, too, we need godly followers who are willing to support, encourage, and work with their leaders. Where we need godly leaders, we need godly followers. So in conclusion, what has God taught us today about leadership? Let's wrap up. I think, first of all, that leadership can be scary. I'm sure we can all relate to feelings of anxiety, which I assume Joshua would have felt too at the prospect of taking over from Moses. Leadership can be scary. Even someone like Joshua must have felt a little intimidated on the first day he took up the role of being the leader of Israel. But God encourages him. And God promises to be with him. And good leaders themselves are great encouragers, aren't they? Encouragement is one of the key lessons in our passage today. You know, fear is contagious, but so is courage. Think about that. Fear is contagious. When everyone gets scared, everyone runs out and buys toilet paper. Everyone runs out and does this. Everyone runs around and does that. So we're in increasingly small circles getting afraid. Fear is contagious, but so is courage. Standing up and saying no. Keep calm and carry on. Don't panic. We're going to get over this. Billy Graham once said, courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. You had that experience? It's true, isn't it? It takes courage to be the one who stands up right at the front. Joshua was that kind of leader. He was a courageous encourager of others. And sometimes we feel unworthy. Sometimes we feel lazy or burnt out. Sometimes we just feel overwhelmed by the scale of things. But a word of encouragement can turn that around. And so what we need now is encouragement. And I want to finish by giving you 10 words of encouragement, 10 ways that you can grow as a leader of God's people. Because we can all lead in different ways and places. Number one, meditate on God's word morning and evening. That comes from verse 8. Be regular in reading the Bible. Get to know God in his word, morning and evening. If you can't do that, how can you be a leader? Don't just read it. Number two, do what it says. Be careful to do all that it says. So, know the word and put it into practice. That's the first step to leadership. Thirdly, from verse 10, lead from the front. Be decisive. Have the courage to make decisions and have the strength to stand by them or admit when you're wrong. Be strong and courageous. Be decisive. Number five, also from verse 10, delegate, as Joshua does, to the officers. Number six, communicate, as he does in verse 11. He tells them what needs to be done. Number seven, use the carrot and the stick. Sometimes keep the stick in public view so people know that you've got one. Sometimes people need different ways of being motivated. Be wise about that. Number eight, expect loyalty. Expect it. Don't go around fearing whether people will or not support you. Just expect it. I think in terms of looking at how Joshua was prepared for leadership. I go back to verse 1. He is, after all, Moses' assistant. So offer apprenticeships to develop new leaders. I think that would be a great lesson for me to try to take on more of. How do I apprentice people so that they can see leadership and be formed by leaders? And finally, number 10, because encouragement's the big theme here, be an encourager, which is really the whole chapter. Be an encourager. Have the courage as a leader to inspire others to follow God's word, to act with integrity, and to be kingdom builders. So today we've seen Joshua make a great start as a leader, and he sets a pattern for us all to follow if we want to lead others. God is with him, the people are with him, plans are in place to cross over the Jordan, and all this is orchestrated by God, without whom Joshua would never have a hope of succeeding, for God is with him. God himself is a God of encouragement. That's a very clear lesson in our passage today. It was God's encouragement that spurred Joshua on to make such a great start as a leader. And those who are willing to go wherever God sends them will have God with them wherever they go. Today we've seen how Joshua handled the responsibilities of his first day on the job as Israel's new leader. We've seen how God encouraged him to be strong and courageous, and how that helped Joshua have the confidence to lead well. We've also seen him lead from the front by giving clear instructions to people who then promised to follow him and support him in his work. All this is a great encouragement, and one that each one of us as Christians should take home with us today. For this is an opportunity to overcome our fears, to step up in ministry, and to step out in God's world. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for Joshua, who is. And so we thank you for the greater Joshua, who is Jesus, the greatest leader of all, the greatest King of kings and Lord of lords, who showed what leadership is by coming into our world and laying down his life on the cross so that we could enter into the land that you have promised to us. How wonderful it is. Help us, Lord, to be good followers of our great leader, that we might bless and be blessed as we follow Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.